we spent most of the time last week focusing on the topic of mitzvah seh shaman grama and whether Mila really is a mitzvah seh shaman grama. And everyone agrees it's a favorish and kedushin. The women are not obligated even in their child's bris mila. The question was why not, and that was the big debate that we saw in part last week. The topic that we saw actually a little bit previously referenced by the Minchas Chinuch in Os Hay, in the bracketed Os Hay, had to do with avadim, and the bulk of tonight's shir will be focused on avadim. The Minchas Chinuch, hopefully the goal is to do three osios, Zion, Ches, and Tes, which should take us to the second paragraph on Amud Yud. But let's see, hopefully we can get there. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Minchas Chinuch and Os Zion here at the bottom of the page, right-hand column of Amud Tes, tells us the following. Im higdil haben, hamitzah mutelas alav gamkein. That's what we saw 2 weeks ago, was the topic of what happens when a boy turns 13, if he still doesn't have a bris milah. We saw the huge debate about whether the father remains obligated or not, but everyone agrees that at 13, the Gemara tells us, that the boy himself becomes obligated. But oh, nosef alav shechayiv kares. Furthermore, we said that there's a chayiv kares on a boy, if he does, on a person, on an adult, on anybody who doesn't have a bris milah. There is a famous, world-famous debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, which the Minchas Chinuch references now. There's a lot to talk about with regard to this machlokes. We're not going to do it now, because if you peek ahead to the last page, Amud Yudalad here in the new Minchas Chinuch, about Bris Milah, so the last topic that the Minchas Chinuch mentions in depth is the issue of kares, and when does that kick in, that punishment. So that's really the main place the Minchas Chinuch discusses it. So Mitzvah Shem, in a few weeks, when we get hopefully to finishing the Mitzvah Bris Milah, when we get to the end, we'll focus on kares then, even though we are mentioning a famous machlokes now. What is that machlokes? The Rambam holds Daito de Omeid Isser Kares Aval Eino Chayev Ad Shiyamus Hainu Kares HaNefesh. Namely, that the Rambam holds, and this is what he's alluding to here, is stuff which is really beyond usual Minchas Chinuch world, and certainly beyond our discussion, is what is the definition of kares, which is a famous philosophical debate. But clearly the Rambam is relating to that, whether we want to focus on it or not, we have no choice, because the Rambam says that when is the person chayiv in kares? When he dies. So if you hold that kares is some form of punishment in this world, that really wouldn't work with the Rambam if you said that he's chayiv in kares. If he dies without having had a bris, you live your whole life, you never have a bris milah, you die, well, now it's obviously too late. So then you're the person that the Chumash said is chayiv kares, not a bris. So obviously, whatever the Rambam understands kares to mean, it can't be this worldly, the Minchas Chinuch assumes, because it only kicks in when the person dies.
So
that's
kares, you're not doing it for Karpesa. I mean, a guy who doesn't have a meal, he can't do it. Not nowadays.
Well, I guess, no, the Rambam only said this about bris mila. He didn't say this about any other bris.
No, I'm just saying, is there a fee of kares for someone who doesn't do the Karban Pesach?
Correct, but...
And someone without a bris isn't allowed to do the Karban Pesach.
Correct, but those two things are not connected.
I'm saying the person is already... When does the chiv of kares kick in?
So, what you were assuming, but mistakenly,
right,
is that it's the kares which doesn't allow him to have the bris mila. And according to the Rambam, if he's not chayiv kares, well, he dies. Well, I mean, the Karban Pesach.
But what I'm saying is, whatever kares is, no matter what you hold it, I mean,
there's no connection. I'm saying, what the punishment, we have no choice but to mention it, which is why I am doing it, but I don't want to get bogged down in it. What kares is an angel, famous, that's a famous philosophical debate, which we're not going to resolve and not even understand. And it's not, you know, the focus of our halacha. The Minchas Chinuch, I'm just pointing out, you have to be sensitive to language. He's clearly alluding to it when he says this comment of the Rambam, kares ha-nefesh. It's a spiritual punishment. It's the nefesh that's getting punished with kares, not the body. Why does he throw that in there? Because the Rambam says, we're no Zion speak. The Rambam says that you get kares when you die. Now, obviously, if you're only getting the punishment when you die, it's obviously a afterlife kind of a punishment. You're bringing up a different point, which is that the other mitzvah that say that's chayiv kares is Karban Pesach. So I'm saying, the first thing I'm saying to you is, don't assume because the Rambam says that about bris milah, is this true about Karban Pesach? Karban Pesach is the night is Pesach. If unless you're one of those anusim who would be subject to Pesach Sheni, if you don't have a good valid reason for not bringing the carbon Pesach and eating it, then you're going to be chayav kares right then and there. You don't have to wait till you die without it. That you're saying a different point, I think, which is what we also discussed in a previous year, which is that if you're an orel, you didn't have a bris milah, we don't let you bring the carbon Pesach. And presumably, even if you would want to bring the carbon Pesach, you can't say, well, you know, not my fault, I didn't have a bris, the rabbis didn't let me. No, so go get a bris. So presumably you would become chayav kares for the carbon Pesach. So this guy, right, who's a walking Russia, basically, collecting kares, you know, points as he goes around the board, yes, it's true, he would be chayav kares on the carbon Pesach, which he didn't bring, even though according to the Rambam, he still has, you know, Admei Be'esrim to try to get out of the kares on bris milah. But that's not a problem. Those are just facts. Yes, those are just facts. That's correct. I thought you were implying that it might be a problem, and I'm saying it's not a problem because kares is not the reason why you can't bring the carbon Pesach. Being an RL is why you can't bring the carbon Pesach. Now, it's interesting. You know, in general, we have a shaila. You know, if you're, and this is something which the poskim, the Menachem himself, is going to get to at the end. Let's say you had a moment to do the mitzvah, you didn't do it, and then you wanted to do it, but you became honest. So do we say you're chayv kares on the fact that for the moments that you could have done it, you didn't do it? Or do we say, no, listen, the bottom line is he had his whole life to do it. True, he was a rebel, and he was the bad crowd, and he was off the derech, and he's at risk. And that's why he didn't do it when he was younger. This kid was really at risk. 8 days. He was, you know what I mean? Some kids, you just know, right, when you look at them. But now, he, you know, he went to yeshiva at 18. I told you that there's a FFE. Yeah, I told you, a new chaver of mine taught me this. There's BT, there's FFB from birth, and there's FFE from 18. And that's the first kids were born from. But, you know, we're having fun in high school, then they go off to Israel for FFE from 18. Anyway, so...
The kid just has that RL look.
Exactly. Earl. They called him Earl. So, let's say there was a time where he should have done it and he was wrong. Now he wanted to do it and something happened in Onus. He had a bad accident, and now he can't. Would you say that person is chayav kares or not? On the one hand, he wants to do it, and he can't. On the other hand, there was a time where he should have done it, and he didn't. So that's going to be a discussion of the Minchas Chinuch. And about Karban Pesach, one could say similarly, would you say that al Karban Pesach he should be chayav kares? If he wants to bring the Karban Pesach, we're just not letting him because he happens to be an RL. I think the assumption of that is yes, but that would be interesting if we were doing Mrs. Karban Pesach. That would be interesting, Karban Pesach Shaila.
So according to the Rambam, he can get a bris on the day when he was 80, on the day before.
And avoid kares, that's correct.
But where do you find any mitzvah there? I'm saying if you do an avet, is there a time limit?
I'm not sure. Let's think.
He married a woman he wasn't allowed to marry. So he could divorce her, but...
Well, you have to focus on a mitzvah that's klapei shmaya. In other words,
all mitzvahs.
We don't know, Alan.
No, what I'm saying is the last day of your life.
You could do tshuva, but what we don't know, which is I think what Yanki, the assumption of Yanki's question, which I think is good, is that it's true you could do tshuva, but for all you know, you might have gotten punished before that.
Right, because you walked around for 80 years.
I'm saying you married someone you shouldn't have. Now, and like anyone else in life, you had certain tzaras. That's for argument's sake, you lost your business. Now, you and I sitting here would have no way of knowing, and it'd be a chutzpah of us to assume that the reason he lost his business is because he married a non-Jew. But is it possible that klapei shmaya, he was getting a patch for that in this world? Of course it's possible. I, then Alan will ask. But when he was 65, he met the disco rabbi from Magdala Emek, and he was a baal tshuva, and he divorced his wife. So he did tshuva on that. But maybe was he already punished? The answer is, en chanami. These are the kind of things, this is why the Rambam stresses Hilchos Tshuva. We don't understand the inner workings of Chayav Oners.
Even if you're 80, that doesn't mean you weren't over an Aseh until then.
You're over many Averos.
Right, so it's just
the current... But the Shaila, so my point is, here, the reason, I don't know the answer to Yagi's question, it could be that there is no other example. What's intriguing about this is that we have a combination of two things. We have an Onesh, which is Klapei Shmaya, it's a heavenly punishment, there's nothing in this world. Because any Avera that would be punished for in this world, so obviously you're not going to wait. The Bezdin doesn't say, well, maybe you'll do tshuva before you die. The Bezdin has a punish you right away. So you have to be talmid with Klapei Shmaya, and it's one in which the Rambam feels the right to tell us he knows when it's going to kick in. And a chanami. Now, again, part of it is what's unique about karis, and there's whatever 27 years of homosexual called krisos, with an opening mishnah telling you all the losa says that you're chayiv in karis for. Yeah, plus, then you add the two of the assays of karban pesach. You know, all of this depends on what karis is. But again, if the assumption is that karis is this worldly, so then you know it's.
Does anybody say in this world?
Yeah, you'll die young. You'll die without children.
Yeah, okay.
Those are different.
That, that happens after you die. You know.
If you die, I mean,
you got to die to get it.
No, that's what the Rambam says. That's not what the Rambam says. The Ravid says. Well, just let's finish the next sentence. The Ravid, that's a Ravid, should take him chayiv kares. You're immediately chayiv in kares. El imalas mo niftar, but retroactively you'll get out of it if you actually had a bris.
What's the difference between the Rambam and the Ravid?
When are you chayiv kares? When does the judge bang the gavel and say you are
Ravid? You can get out of this by doing it.
Because there's a difference, the following thing, we have to be precise. Being chayiv in karis is not necessarily the same thing as actually receiving the karis. Receiving the karis really begs the question of what is karis, which we don't really know. But the point is, just imagine it in this worldly terms, and again, it's easier to think of in secular American terms. The judge bangs the gavel, you owe $1 million. That's not the same thing as you actually having to pay. That may have 30 days to do or something like that. The judge could say, you're going to go to jail. But I'm going to give you 60 days to get your affairs in order before you go to jail. Right. So here also, the Ravid, the machlokes about the Ravid and the Rambam is, it's memela, it's got to also be about what karis is, although that's not our focus. But what's explicitly in Hilchos Mila is the machlokes, is when is the gavel for karis? The Rambam says when you'll die, when the Chevra Kadisha will take a look. Right? No bris, you know what I mean? Klape Shmaya, that was when the gavel was.
So then for sure he'll get in Shmaya.
That's what the Mechel Sech alludes to. Whereas the Ravid holds, no, the second you hit 13 without a bris milah, there's already the bang of the gavel. Now, again, it begs the point, Alan, what is kares? But obviously, it's elastic enough, or potentially delayed enough, in terms of its execution, even according to the Ravid, that you could get out of it by having a bris. Because obviously, if you've already gotten kares, whatever that means, then the Ravid wouldn't be able to say, well, if you have a bris, you're niftar mimena. Right, so yeah, the question is, do you have the punishment of karis hanging over your head or not? According to the Rambam, you do not. You have the potential of it.
But the mindset comes out, it's the same.
Of course, well, listen.
It's the same effect.
100%. Listen, karis is this worldly. There is no lemaisa. There is no lemaisa from karis. It's a term that's not even, okay? Anyway, again, a big nafkamina will be, again, this is very abstract. I'll give you a nafkamina, which will be, again, we'll have to get to probably in a few weeks. But I think Misvara, and if I'm not mistaken, I think the Rugachover says this. Let's say you have a case. Again, somebody who was bemazed didn't have a bris milah for a certain amount of his life. Then he wants to become a Baal Tshuva and he wants to have a bris milah. And he had, you know, he worked in a factory and he had an accident and instead of his finger getting chopped off, Nebuch, Nechor Sagid. So now he's an honest. Then he had this life-changing event. He went to Isha Torah. He went to Israel, got to see the wall, and sure enough, they invited him for Shabbos, and 5 years later, he's now from, he's shuttling at the Kotel. But he wants to have a bris, but now he's an honest. There's nothing to do a bris on. Would you say about that person he's chayiv karis or not? So, I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Ragachover who says it's dependent on this machlokes Rambam Ravid. According to the Rambam, he was never chayiv karis. So when he'll come to Shemayim, dying without a bris, having ever had a bris, will he get a kares then? No, because he wanted to have one the last X number of years of his life. But he was an honest. So b'shas the chiyuv, he was right. The gavel never hits the desk because it's stopped by the chiyus sponge. But according to the Ravid, the second he gets 13, b'mezid. Or if, and again, he might, let's say he was an honest then because he didn't know better. But whenever he hit 20, whenever he was b'mezid, the gavel banged. And whatever amount of time that was, a day or 10 years between then and when he was an honest, it doesn't matter. He was already chayiv. Whatever the onus is, so then he may be. So that would be a tangible nafkamina, perhaps between that machlokas. Okay, all of that is very levitic, and it's an introduction to the topic that we'll spend, that the Ben Chassidus spends the next page on, which may or may not be as levitic, but we'll do our best. It's not like karis to get to use this long. Okay. So now, and I want to point out also, just so you should know, the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Kiv Eger has a ha'ara. The Shulchan Aruch has a discussion. Before I get to that, I'm sorry. So that's that machlokas. Look at then the last line, the last three lines of this column. V'hinei nira, debein Yisrael, whether we're talking about a regular Jew. Oh, Eved shenolad b'kedusha, kigo shenolad mishivcha achar shetavla. What if you have an Eved has been to mikvah, and then he marries a shivcha who's also been to mikvah. So that child, even though the child will be, from a momentous perspective, an Eved, but that child is being born b'kedusha. Hatahari hu b'kedushas Yisrael, afal pi shelamal, but he hasn't had a bris yet. Kemo ben Yisrael, hu k'kedushas Eved, even though he's an Eved, but he has a certain kedusha. Im avar v'lomal b'gad luso, gam kein chayiv kareis. He assumes that this child, even an Eved, even if he'll stay as an Eved all these years, let's say. But the bottom line is, there's a chiyuv mila on an Eved, especially if he was nolad b'kedusha, and therefore if he didn't have the bris mila, he would be chayiv kareis. V'chein niru me Rambam. Where does he know that from? Because the stomach says, the pasuk says, the stomach, arol zocher, any zocher, who's shayach to the mitzvah bris milah, is an arol, is going to be chayav karis. Nir dal kol haparshakai, on everybody, not just children, but even on avadim. Osem shachav milah, anyone who's chayav in milah, ken nir niz daiti, pashut. Now he asks the question here in Oschas, which is an intriguing one. Im chal al ha'eved, mitzvah milas beno, kechol ben al ha'av. Do we assume that Mr. Eved has a little baby Eved, we'll call him Jack the Eved, not the plumber, but the Eved. Jack, who's the plumber? Joe the Eved. I'm sorry, Joe. You see how quickly things get fade? Yes, exactly right, exactly. So Joe the Eved, little baby Joe the Eved. He's so cute. No, he's so cute. Does the father have a chiyuv to circumcise the boy? That's his shaila. After all, we saw that by a regular Jewish family, the father is chayiv in the circumcision of his son. Here he references our previous limud from before Yontif, that of Puravu. Because in Puravu we also discussed, is an Eved chayiv in Puravu or not? And there we said, right? The idea of yichus, that this child will have, a family tree which is attributed to the father, that doesn't apply to an Eved. Eved ain lo yichus. And therefore we said, how can he be chayiv in Puravu? We had mentioned, if Puravum necessitates that the child is misyaches after the father. Therefore, he says, Eino nechshav leben klal l'shem davar, im kevarai potter mitaras mitzvahs av ala ben. This idea, the Mishnah and Kiddushin, which we were focusing on 2 weeks ago, is not going to be applicable to an Eved. The Adon maybe is a chayev to get his little baby Eved Abris, and the child himself, when he becomes an adult, will have that responsibility. But he says, right, at this point, not the father. And he assumes that as a davar pashut.
But Adon is coming mikvah a tzibur or a beis?
No, he has a, it's miknas kesef. Just like the Adon could do, just like the Adon could do Karban Pesach if he hadn't gemalt his kids, his avadim.
What kind of
Eved
is this? Eved Kanani.
So the
boy Eved Kanani would chayav if he mal himself?
When he's a little baby, when he's 13, I think. And certainly the Adon is chayav. So he quotes here a Shidur Gobetzel Baba Kama. The Gemara that it comes out of is a little bit complicated and not really the focus, so we'll just kind of run through it. But the upshot, hopefully you'll see from the language itself, and if not, hopefully I can elaborate to make it clear for you. So at this point, just to know where we're holding. What we're holding now is, he had no rayas, but the Minchas Chinuch just assumed misvara, that a father Eved cannot be chayev to circumcise baby Eved, because we assume that even if biologically it's obviously father and son, that halachically there's no yichus. That was his assumption, so how could you possibly mechayev the father? V'reisi v'seif v'shitim v'kubetzes and babakama, ahod om v'shas, v'shas there, it's in the middle of a shaklavataria, ma'al isha, shekein eina ru'uya, Lamul, right? And Isha cannot be according to that man to Omar a Mohel. So Gemara goes back and forth between Raya's, between that and he says, Kot Yochiach Ayin Sham. Again, the context there, the Menachem doesn't give us the whole context because it's not so important to us. But Lamaisa, in that Gemara, where they're trying to bring proofs relating to the Eved, Tosfos there quotes in the name of the Rosh, V'hod lo parech ma'al Isha shekein ena mitzuva b'milas b'na'a v'alzeh lo shayach Kot Yochiach. When we're referring to the woman and her relationship to Bris Milah, why did the Gemara there focus on the fact that she is not Re'uya to be a Moel, and therefore she's not Shaykh to Bris Milah? There's a much more fundamental disqualification. Namely, she's not Chayiv to make sure that her children are circumcised. Forget being a Moel, not a Moel. The fundamental Chiyuv that any parent would have, i.e. on their child, a woman is excluded from. And yet the Gemara didn't mention that. It mentioned something much more tangential, which is frankly even debatable, about whether a woman can be a moel, or moheles, to be precise. So why didn't the Gemara do that? That was the Rosh's question. The Tirat HaRosh, and here's the point for us. Kevin de Isha Eina Mechuyeves, Gam Eved Eina Mechuyev. Mehechetesi, Kevin de Isha Petura. That says the Rosh, if we want to know which was the unstated context of that Gemara, which the Mechuyev didn't give us the whole quote on, but we want to know about an Eved, says the Rosh, we don't need to look any further. Once we know that a woman is not Chayev in Mila, so we can assume that an Eved is not Chayev in Mila. After all, we have the legendary Gzer Shava, La Meisha. If that's the case, okay, so that Rosh makes a lot of sense. How can we have any suffix about an Eved? After all, he's not going to be any better than the Isha, and the Isha is Potter. But if that's the case, it's so compelling from the Rosh. So he asks the question, if that's so obvious in the Rosh, Hine asks the Minchas Chinuch, L'chora Kosha, Lama Lo Tiras Kipshuto, De'eno Mechuyiv, De'ein Lo Chiyas. Why didn't the Rosh give what the Minchas Chinuch thinks is an even more poshut thing? Why do you have to come on from to Isha to say that an Eved is Potter because he's like an Isha is Chayiv? I mean, that may be true, but that's already one step removed. You got to go outside, so to speak, the circle from the Eved to the Isha. Forget that, says the Minchas Chinuch. My svara in the previous paragraph is so obvious. An Eved doesn't have Yichus, and therefore how could anyone have had a Hava Mina that the Gemara needs to come on to this Isha thing, or the Rosh needs to come on to this Isha thing? It's because of no Yichus. How come the Gemara and how come the Rosh is ignoring that? So he says, Nirak Tzaz Kemoshe Yivad V'Mitzvah Aleph. You have to go back to a Chiddush that we had seen a few weeks ago, or really we learned a few Shurim ago, but it was really a month plus ago, before Yontif, where we had seen, towards the end of the Mitzvah Purvu, where in which he had told us, the Ba'odo Eved, while he's still an Eved, Eino Muchach De Eino Kibno. Rak Benis Gayer. When do we say that there's no Yichus between father and son Eved? When they are Niskaya, when they can, when they're freed, right? When an Eved Kanani is freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. At that point, even though they had been living as father and son in the master's, you know, clubhouse in the back of the plantation for all these years, halachically, said the Minchas Chinuch back in Mitzvah Aleph, that's when there's no Yichus. However, he said, while they're in that status of the twilight zone, whether the Eved, Taka, he does have a status of Beno. And if you recall, I don't want to go back and see it inside again, it'll take us too long, but the Minchas Chinuch there, when it comes to Pur Ravu, had pointed out that at least according to some Rishonim, there was two dinim. One was the Yichus, and the other was, is he have the status of Beno? Certain halachos required a closer link between the two, called Yichus, and others, even if there's no Yichus, but we could still posit what was seems to be empirically obvious or intuitive, that is that this is his son. He is Beno. When might, according to some Rishonim, when do you have that twilight zone? In that interim stage. While he's in Eved, he's Beno, even if there's no Yichus. Im Kain, he says, end of the paragraph. After Ein Lo Chiyus, Mikol Mokom, Im Nechshav Ki Beno, Hu Mitzuvah Lamo. Maybe what you see from this Rosh is that even without Yichus, just being the Ben, just being the Beno, is enough to require you to have a circumcision. And that's why, if it would have been just for that, we would have obligated the Eved, Al-Kein Hutzurcha Rosh, Latariz Al-Kaponim, and Isha Peturagam Eved Potter. Kamash Malon, anyway, is Potter, but it's not from the obvious reason. I'll use the board. It'll make it easier for you, okay? Step one was the Minchas Chinuch assumed, right, Eved Ein Lo Yichus, which is like a category, a term, and therefore, this is the therefore sign, therefore, Pshita, that's the important thing, according to Minchas Chinuch, it's obvious, Pshita the Potter, right, that was the first thing. Then, number two was we saw that the Rosh doesn't explicitly argue on this, because the Rosh also holds that the Eved's Potter. But the Rosh gave a different reason. Namely, what did the Rosh say? Yalfinan Me'isha. Right? That's the law. The Gzer Shava between women and Avadim. Yalfinan Me'isha. Yalfinan Me'isha. that since she's potter, therefore, right? Therefore, Eved is potter. So step three was Frag de Minchas Chinuch. Why didn't the Rosh use why not? From the reason Lav Mitam, I'll just call it number one. Why did the Rosh use answer number one? Which is clearly a more simple reason, because there you're staying within the Eved himself. You don't have to come on to his comparison to Isha. Just the Eved himself, he has no Yichus. Therefore, that should be enough. Kamash Malon says the Minchas Chinuch that there's really two dinim. When we speak about a father and children generally, and when we speak about avodim, we really mean two different things. There's two dinim. The proverbial sadim. One is whether there's yichus. A second one is whether he's called Beno. Now, when we get to the end of the Sefer, in retrospect, we could decide which mitzvahs come under A, which halachas are under A, which are under B. Right now, we don't know. But we're only at mitzvah base. But so far, it's the second mitzvah, which the Minchas Chinuch has made the same distinction. Lamaisa, every one of us, we're blessed with a child, so when we say that this is our child, in halachic terms, so the Minchas, that means both things. This is Beno, Beno l'chol davar, as we sometimes say, and this child is Misiaches. Achara, right? We know there's various halachos. There's halachos regarding incest. Is this my child? Is it not my child? There's halachos of Yerusha. There's halachos of who am I obligated to gemalt. All sorts of different things. Who am I obligated to marry off? So that would be, again, that would be, you know, if you want a dissertation topic, you have a few years free. You know, go trace through Taryag which mitzvos that parents have, or which halachos which relate to parents and children are halachos in Yichus, which ones are halachos in Beno. But we don't know all that yet. When you'll do the research, you'll let me know. Or if anyone wants to give me a sabbatical, I'll be happy to take this on as a job. That was all learned. I'll morning Seder a whole year on this topic. I didn't finish. Let me finish, please. So, that's true in general. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch with that Hanacha, and he says, this is something he had already said, at least according to some Rishonim, already by Mrs. Puravu, that an Eved has no yichus, has no, I'll call it A, but does have B. An Eved's child is called Beno, whichever halachos stam from Beno, but does not have yichus, whichever halachos come from yichus. He then says, in his final point here, therefore, he says, want to know why did the Rosh avoid answer number one? Must be, according to the Rosh, that the halacha of chiyuv bris milah, mitzvahs milah, are you chayiv to circumcise your son or not, flows from which of the two halachos? Beis, exactly. Mitzvahs milah is a din in B. And therefore, if it would be just that, taka, you might have been mechayiv the eved. Kamash Malon said the Rosh, there's a different reason to pata the Eved, namely, La La Me'isha. Is that clear? The board's good. The board is good. Yes?
He thinks that the Eved is different than Anachri.
Stop! An Eved, Knani, full fledged non Jew, when they become an Eved, they go to Mikvah, they become some kind of a quasi Jew. Some Machlokas are showing them how quasi the quasi, but everyone admits that they're at least a quasi-Jew, and of course some are showing them that Mamish almost all the way there. And everyone holds that they're chayiv in all los ases, in all mitzvahs asay, other than mitzvahs magroma. That's la la. So that answers it, that you already answered your question. Of course they're very different than Nachri.
Nachri and his son, the Tamagaya, why don't you say also?
We're not talking about, because that's exactly his point. When do you say that there's Mamish nothing? That's only when they become Magayar. That's when you have this kakutna nola dummy. But we're not talking about Magayer. We're talking about, that's when they get freed. Then they go to Mikvah a second time. But while they're in Eved, says the Minchas Chinuch, they're not yet there. They're in this hybrid middle stage. Now he thought in his Havamin in number one, that even in the hybrid stage they had nothing. Kamash Malone, by the time he gets to number three, they don't have Yichus, they do have this thing called Beno. And in fact, we saw in Peru, the Michas Chinuch was Machadish as well. That paradoxically, we saw this, right? That if a Jew will have a baby with a non-Jewish woman, he has zero halakhic relationship with that child.
Right.
We also saw that if you convert, you could have no halakhic relationship. Ironically, though, two non-Jews, nice, good, you know, the Palins in Alaska, right? They were about, I mean, nice people, but no more Goyish family ever existed than the Palins. Right? And I'm a fan, so I say that.
Sure.
Huh?
Oh,
really?
Oh,
my gosh.
She may have some Jewish.
Oh, really? Because I'm telling you, when I first heard the names of those children, I just wanted to think, the Chetz of a Goy. Shrig. I mean, these are just, this is not Jonathan, you know what I mean? Anyway, but I say this all not in any way derogatory about her. My point is just that you could take two nice, the Johnsons from Wichita, you know, pick with the most cliched waspy or redneck, it doesn't matter. Goyish or Bagoyish, not, you know, not somebody who's living on Long Island, you know, or Pikesville. They already have Jewish, just by living where they live. So really, a Goyish or Goy. I grew up in Cincinnati. They were all over. Kentucky was my neighbor, you know what I mean? Okay, so that family, if they'll convert, maybe in a Hanami, there might be an issue. However, we saw from the Minchas when he came to Peru, as Goyim, totally Goyim, there was some kind of relationship. There was Beno, and that's why according to some Rishonim, if they all convert at the same time, the father is Mekayim Peru. Despite, because on the Nagan, I don't want to revisit all the Peru stuff. But like, so this is not well-trodden, but some we've already seen it in Mitzvah Aleph. So now the Minchas is just referencing his own Kiddush here to explain Bris Milah.
So the Harayas,
that you'd have to discuss. That's exactly the Shaila. Are they Dinim in Yichus or are they Dinim in Beno? That's exactly the Shaila. Mida Raisa, just again, just to give you the short answer, Mida Raisa, the answer is no. But that's the famous halacha of the Gemara. The verse is Mida Rabbanan. We impart them. Why? Because we don't want them to say, Banu Mikadusha Chamura, Mikadusha Kula. Okay, Kala. Next paragraph. With all of that, deep breath. Says the Minchas Chinuch, however, there's a whole other perspective you could take on this question. Question being, is an Eved Chayiv and the Bris Milah of his sons? I'm beginning the paragraph with Ula Svaris HaMishnah LaMelech. Ula Svaris HaMishnah LaMelech. He doesn't even. He still has a splurge. When's your birthday, Didi?
When we get to...
What, no, so when's your birthday?
May.
May?
ER.
Okay, so either your wife or the shir will get you a present. When's your anniversary? When's your anniversary? January, okay, January. We don't have to wait till ER. January, okay. So the Mishnah LaMelech said a chiddush in general about the relationship of avadim and women, which we saw then. He's referencing it again. What was the chiddush of the Mishnah LaMelech? Who remembers? Anyone want to remember? Or anyone who peeked?
What,
the Mishnah al-Malach had a chiddush about the relationship between Avadim and Isha. I mean, the basic halacha is in the Gemara.
You brought this up last week. It's not so clear what the comparison is.
Very good. And what did the Mishnah al-Malach say? Do you remember?
I can't say I remember.
You looked. Oh, look. Okay.
Yes.
That's okay. Ulasvaras HaMishnah al-Malach, which is, namely, the mitzvahs asei she'enes man grama, rak da ha-Torah, patro l'noshim exer sakosav. Lo amrinan is kish eved leisha. Right, we do not mean when we say la la that halachically an eved is like a woman. That's not what we mean. What we mean is those mitzvahs which a woman is exempt from, midin mitzvahs hezvan grama, those an eved is exempt from. But there could be other mitzvahs which an eved, which a woman is exempt from, which have nothing to do with mitzvahs hezvan grama, and yet those the eved could be. So, for example, Lamashal, and Los Aseh, which women are exempt from, is Zakifas Zakain, right? That's the same Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin. That they're potter from is because the assumption is that a woman's not going to have pace, that she's got to worry about shaving with a razor as a biological. So that reality has nothing to do, says Mishnah Melech, with a guy. You're not going to say, because a woman is potter from that, David is also potter. Or Lamashal. Right, I don't know about limited Torah is an interesting question. Or another question I was thinking of. Again, I don't know what the Mishnah Melech says Lamaisa, but I'm playing out the logical extension of the Mishnah Melech. Women are potter from going to war. Right, es shadar cholichmo, if not, right. So you wouldn't say that then necessarily, you know, this Eved is going to be punted from going to war. If the Jewish, if the mitzvah, if it was a mechemes mitzvah, and everyone was going out, maybe I'm just throwing out the possibility, maybe an Eved will be chayev, because Mishnah Malach would say, who cares that women are exempt? Men are going to be exempt. The women, they're not exempt unless it was because of Mrs. Magrama. And Darach HaLuch Porsche has nothing to do with Mrs. Magrama. It's a separate Darach HaKosov. So in light of that, says the Minchas Chinuch, Im Kain, Sarach HaLuch, so then you don't have to come on to the Rosh. We asked the Kasha, why wouldn't you say that it's that the Rosh had said that we know that the Eved is Potter because of Law. So then, what is this? Now, let's think. Who had their Wheaties this morning for breakfast? What now question does that beg? Now we've shifted the focus. The Rosh had said that we could learn the Eved from the Isha. And the Mishnah Lamelech, hanging out in the background, says, hey, not so fast. We only learn Eved from Isha if women are exempt from a mitzvah, mitam, if it's not grama. But if they're for some other reason, so now what question does that beg? What comes next? Which, I'll give you a hint, it was last week's shir. What does this now bring up? Excellent! Oh, we said it in the opening review too. It's a machlokas rishonim. Why are women exempt? Is it midin v'zeh man grama, or is it for some other reason? Oh, so v'lo osa exerza kasav. Now we discuss that for its
own.
Yes, exactly. So we discussed that for its own sake last week. But you can imagine this is Minchas Chinuch 101. We're in his head. We know where he's going. You know that's the next place the Minchas Chinuch is going to go, because now that he's just brought back this Mishnah Melech to us that said you want to know about Eved, it all depends. Why is the woman exempt? Will tell us if we could naturally associate it with the Eved. So now we don't need this whole thing. Let's erase this. We don't need our two din and yichosem. But no, we can have a different analysis of why. Again, what was our question? The Rush uses Isha. The Rush says, yes, exactly, the Rush uses Isha. So we said, why doesn't he use this? Why is this enough? Or can we really, but what do we see? What do we see now? Okay, who wants to take a guess?
Well, the Rush holds this,
but the Sages want to know. Okay, so let everyone hear what Yosef is saying? We'll have to see what the Mishnah says, but I think that's a good suggestion. The Rush assumes, well, according to Mishnah, within the Mishnah Melech.
Right, but that doesn't explain, but our question was, Yichus is a better way, not how could he say Yelpidimish.
Right, that's true. That's
still
right.
A better way.
Okay, that,
I mean,
I guess you
the
may
idea
be right.
Was don't go out of the realm of...
I guess, well, that's the way I phrase it. Right, that's true. Let me think. Well, you know what? Let's see what the Minchas. Maybe we'll go back to the board, maybe we won't, but first let's let the Minchas speak
Yichus
for himself.
Is her own son.
That's what we're talking about, yes. So he says, Im Kain, fourth line of that paragraph. Im Kain, Tzarech Lomer, Desfaras Harosh, He Kidas Tosfus Bekidushin, which we saw last week. Demila Havila, which is my grandma, as Yosef correctly anticipated. That he must hold, again, within the Mishnah Melech, if you accept that, he must hold like Tosfus. Tosfus, we saw four or five different answers about women last week. One of the answers, Tosfus and Kiddushin had said, one of the answers was that a mitzvah saseh shezman grama sheyesh vakares is so severe that I might not have exempted the women. Therefore, kamash malan oso the pasuk below oso. But what do you see as what the Minchas Chinuch pointed out last week? If I had to ask you a question, according to that Tosfos, is Mitzvah Zman Grama, is Bris Mila a Mitzvah Zman Grama? Taka, the answer is yes. It's just that it's the type of Mitzvah Zman Grama which is so severe because of Kares that I still might have obligated women. Kamash Mulan, oh so. But according to the Minchas Chinuch, to me, according to that Tosfos, it is a Mitzvah Zman Grama. It just would have been one of those that one would have been Chayiv in. So if that's the case, so since according to that Tosfos, Taka, Bris Mila is a Mrs. Van Grama, then within the Mishnah Lamelech's assumptions that whenever you have Mrs. Van Grama, Avadim are exempt from that, so too, that's why according to the Rush, we would have known that Avadim are exempt from the connection to women. Al-Kain, Avadim Gam Kepeturim. But that's only true according to that Manda Amar in Rishonim, Aval Asfaris Rova Rishonim, but according to most Rishonim, as we saw last week, the Gamla Didon Midrash Be'oso, where we say, no, you needed Oso, because Taka, it's not as Zman Grama. Why is it not as Zman Grama? Well, maybe because the book ends, or maybe because we saw from Tosas Rid and Marach or Zarua, maybe the Bris Mila is really, maybe the mitzvah of Bris Mila is just to call the caterer and to enable it to happen, and that can take place obviously at night and before the eighth day, or the Ritva and the Ramban said that any mitzvah sasesh, only mitzvah Zman Grama that women are part of from if it's on their guf. But if it's on someone else's guf, which Bris Mila quite obviously is, then that's not going to exempt women. So we saw other Rishonim, which whether it's 3, 4, 5, whatever the number is, it's a majority who take a hold that if you want to know why we needed the pasuk of Oso velo Osa, the answer is simple. Because despite its first appearances, never judge a book by its cover, Bris Mila is taka, not a Mishnah Zman Grama. And according to that Shita, Im Kain, Gzeiras HaKosav Hi B'Isha, that's why you needed Osov L'Osa, and therefore applying the Mishnah L'Melech to Avadim, Im Kain Avadim Chayav Mamilas B'Nayem, the Lekka Demutik Abayu. Well, if the only reason a woman are exempt is from the Pasuk of Osov L'Osa, an Evid is an Oso, he's a He. And therefore, would it just have been for that, the Avadim would have been Chayav, Kamash Mulan, at least according to the Minchas Chinuch, we could apply number one, Gichus, to exempt them. Or maybe we would hold Taka, maybe you hold, if you accept Beno, maybe you'd say Taka Der Chayev. Yeah, maybe you come to a different conclusion than the Rush and say Taka Der Chayev, exactly.
What's the Didon mean? It says, Midwin the Havila, it says the Shadan Gomer the Didon.
What does he mean by the word Lididon? Obviously, usually the word means according to us, but I understand why you're asking. It doesn't fit perfectly here. I'm not sure. I can't tell you for sure. I mean, what the sentence means, we got correct. But you're bringing up a fair point.
And all this is only according to Kesef Mishnah, who says, who describes the parameters of the comparison.
Mishnah Melech.
Correct. So there's a whole other line of...
Exactly right. That's correct. Ulufiza, next paragraph. Hine hadin de eved ichayav lamul beno mishivcha. So now he's summarizing. Like a good teacher, he's summarizing. The Shiloh we asked at the end of the last paragraph, so now we can summarize. Where are we from here? That Shiloh, if an eved is chayav to circumcise his son, toli. I havale mitzvah seishes man grama, potter kemoisha. If you held like that opinion and we've shown him that Israel is man grama, again, he's clearly accepting the Mishnah Melech's, you know, framework, then we would assume that Taka and Eved would be Chayiv. We have Mitzvah Seisha and Zman Grama, Rakisha Patura Mimiyat Oso, but women haven't been exempt from a technicality. Avadim Chayavim Benilas Benehem. Why are they Chayiv? According to the Minchas Chinuch, despite the Din of Yichus, but because it is the Din of Beno. That was the second Din which I erased over there. Ach, Lefi Mashika Savnul El Mitzvah.
Why is it then, if we're going to give the Eved that type of gedder, then why is he chayv in, let's say, Puru? In other words, how could he be chayv in having children?
That was, where was that, Alan? Where was that? We saw that. That was a discussion. We discussed that. Where is it? Remind me. Let's see. Yeah, it's on page Dalet, I think. Oh, is it your test, right? Yeah, it's your test. The back here. Look, he discussed that in Puru. Where are we? Page Dalet. Why don't I see it? No, right at the top of Dalet. The top of Dalet, he first discusses Isha. And then he says, good discussion. Yesh mefarshim David, ain't a mitzvah per review.
That's what I'm saying.
According to my list, Tosfos holds Eved chayv in Puru
Ravia. According to the way, if you're going to learn that you're chayv in Puru Ravia, then you have to be chayv in the Mila, no? Or Lav Davka. You're chayv to have the kid, so you're chayv to take care of the kid the same way. You would have a chayv like, you would have
no,
like Lav Davka.
No, Lav Davka, because maybe the other one is chayv. Maybe the other one is chayv, and not you. Okay?
I mean, besides, if it's Puru is to bring forth children that are, I mean, the logical continuation seems to be that if you're going to have to bring them in to...
But we know, I hear what you're saying, but we know that, you know, again, not to be too Abraham Lincoln freeing the slaves philosophical on you, but we know that, I mean, even halakhically, you know, saying an Odon is not his, I mean, an Eved is not his own Balabasar. There are things that an Odon has to do, you know, in a kind of a parental way for, you know, for the Eved. So this could be one of them. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong. I'm saying it's not necessarily true. It could be that it would be the sort of the obligation of the Odon. Let's see what he says. We've not done yet. We got more. What about the Rambam? The Rambam, we had this 2 days. I'm sorry, I erased it prematurely. It looks all nice and everything. Yeah, too quick with my eraser. Too quick on the draw. The we had said over here, just remember, it's invisible now, but you can see it with your halakha. I think I've told you this, but I do with my son. Who's now 8, right? Well, first Masechta Mishnayos we learned together was last Chol HaMoed Sukkah, so we started Sukkah. So Sukkah, almost more than any other Masechta you can imagine, is all these, what we call halachic fictions, you know, Lavud, and all these things where, Davanakum, or just take something simple, a three-walled sukkah is kosher, well, where's the fourth wall? Well, you know, so how do you explain these things? You know, there's three tfachim between the things, you know, but we it's a good enough, and if there's enough schach, it's majority, that's enough. So all these things are halachic fictions. So the way I, you know, he was 7, you know, how's he going to understand that? So I said to him, you know, if you look at the picture in the book, you don't see it. But if you put on your halacha glasses, then it's like you see different things. So, you put on your halacha glasses, it's actually, I didn't erase yet. You can still see, you can decode the invisible ink. And it says there, the Menachem Sinek had assumed until now, according to some Rishonim, and that's the qualifying point, that there's really two dinim, Yichus and Beno, and in Eved, Taka had the second din of Beno. Now that we've enjoyed that moment, says the Menachem Sinek, but the Rambam doesn't hold of it. It's nice, it's fun, it's razzle-dazzle, and the Rambam's not having any of it. The Rambam holds, Zodas HaRambam, Sh'ein HaNashar B'no Gabi Eved, even that second din of B'no, the Eved doesn't have. Im King says, the Mechassar, then there's nothing to talk about. Avada, and Avada is going to have to be Potter. He then quotes some other, an Eved who has a son.
So even if when he's freed, he's not Yosef Pre-Rivia, there's not Nechassar B'no?
I think that's for sure.
That's what he said, yeah.
I think so. According to the Rambam, for sure, yeah. I think so. We saw this in... Well, he doesn't...
So we see that it's...
Remember, this is impoverished Didi.
So tell us if it's that.
Could be, yeah, that's the point you made before. You're the Shitaska!
But according to Rambam, it's the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's the
okay. I didn't say that for the shul building. I just want to point out. Anyway. Okay. Lemaise, at the end of this paragraph, he discusses something that he doesn't really follow up on, whether an Isha is going to be Chayev Tulumul and Avadim. Let's leave that. We don't have time to really develop it, and he doesn't really himself develop it. Let's focus, though. I wanted to try to see if we can finish up by focusing on two more points, really an Os Tes. Number one is that the Menachas Chinuch is going to discuss now in Eved if he's chayiv in his own bris. Until now, we saw the father, is he obligated in his, you know, we said Joe the Eved's bris, the little baby Joe. But the Shaila is now when Joe hits 13 and he's Joe the Eved, is he going to be obligated in his own bris? And then, in the last paragraph, Inyan, the Menachas Chinuch is going to quote a very famous Turi Evan, which is the Geshmak to share, which is about Zizman Grama. So we'll get back to that in a second. Yes?
Are we going to have the same kind of conflict of Adon and Evan himself when we do with father and son? I mean, there's no doubt the Adon is kind.
Let's see. Hinei. Kasav Nuliel. So he had said, the first thing we saw today, Os Zayin, the first thing we said today, was that he had said, the Nira, the Avada, Ba'athman, Chayvim, Mila, Kshig Dolan. Milchas Chinuch had any Raya, but Misvara, he had assumed, you know, Libi Omerli, he assumed that an Eved would have been Chayv.
Because they were born as an Eved, or they were acquired as an Eved?
Either way.
So other than acquired an Eved, would be Chayv?
When if he's younger than 13, and no one does a bris mila for him, and now he is 13. That's the shaila. Is he chayiv or not?
He's older than 13?
Yeah, that's the shaila. Is he now obligated to do his own bris?
He's quite as older than 13. Wasn't Adam chayiv in such a case?
That may be the case. The shaila is, he chayiv? Just like we had a shaila in previous weeks, when a boy, a regular Jewish boy, not Joe the Eved, but Yonkel the Jew, if he turns 13, and no one did a bris, it could be, according to many Rishonim, that both he and his father, it could be possible that they're both chayiv. That's exactly our shaila. So he had said misvara that he thought that not only was the eved chayiv on his own bris mila, but depending on, you know, interject Rambam Ravid respectively in terms of the timing, but that chayiv karis would be relevant to him as well. That was the Mechazin's assumption. Achein, he says, however, he says shavti the ev shalashit the tosfis, which tosfis we'll get to in a second, the mila havala mislesman grama. Asher davarim gam kebeturim, right, which is what we just saw. We were talking about, we quoted that tosfis, which I'll now call Didi's tosfis, about kedushin, about, well, maybe they're potter because it's emphasizing my grandma sheish bakaris with the mother, right? But we said, but vice versa, you see from that tosfis, so leave aside that point, it is, according to tosfis, emphasizing my grandma. So we applied that in the previous paragraph, in the previous sif cotton, vis-a-vis whether the father is obligated on his baby Joe the plumber, baby Joe the Evan, is bris. But now, says the Minchas Lidach, that same Tosfos is relevant to ask about Joe the big boy Evan, whether he becomes obligated in his own. And if you assume that it is a Mishnah Zman Grama, then maybe Tosfos would argue on his original assumption, and maybe he would say the Taka. You could have a situation in which the Evan is not chayiv on his own bris. And yet, here we call Makamas Zman Grama Upater. It's also. And therefore, he says, I'm sorry, I lost the place. I'm sorry. Period. Even though, listen to what he's about to say, this is a Moira Dika Chiddush. After Havi Chiv, Karis Amein Amal Atmo. It could be that he has no Chiv. And even though he has no Chiv, if it doesn't get done, it's going to fall like a ton of bricks on him.
How could you get punished on something you're not punished?
That's a big chiddush. But I will tell you that if memory serves, and I didn't look it up today because I didn't put two and two together until this minute, I admit, but if memory serves, the Divrei Chaim, the great Reb Chaim of Sons and his tshuvas, Divrei Chaim, he holds that when it comes to Yankel the Jews. In other words, we shift back for a second. We have seen 2 weeks ago in the Shir, we discussed the Chiv of the Father. And one of the rayas that we said that the father is no longer chayiv once you hit 13 is who's going to have to write that check? Who's going to have to pay the price if there's no bris? Not the father. There's no chiv karz on the father. It's the boy himself. Whether it be the Rambams at the end of life, the Ravids every day, that's a detail. But it's the boy who's chayiv karz, not the father. So we said that prima facie, the pashtus, that alone is already a raya that the father is no longer chayiv. Because after all, could you imagine that the son would be chayiv and yet not have a mitzvah? And yet there are some Risha Achronim, I think the Divrei Chaim, who suggest that there is such a possibility. You could have a situation in which one person has the chayiv, but if it's not done, the other person has to bear the brunt, has to get the karis. It's a novel, to say, is an understatement. Very, very, very unconventional chiddush, but the Menachas Chinuch says the same thing here by Eved. You're reading the words with me.
Not really, because even though you don't have the technical chiv, you still got to see to it that it gets done in order to avoid your karis. Your chiv comes from the fact that you're buying karis. So what?
Bottom line, do I have a mitzvah to circumcise myself according to this possibility of Tosfos?
Eved does not. Karis.
That's just good advice. That would be me like if I had told you a day before, get out of AIG. Like, it's not a mitzvah to do it, but it's good advice. It's a good idea to get a bris.
No.
But it's not a mitzvah to do it.
No, it's about saying if you don't get out of AIG tomorrow, you're gonna taint. So don't get out, taint. That's your problem.
Right, exactly.
Either gemalt yourself or you're gonna
taint. Right, but that's not a mitzvah, that's called self interest.
Curse is a punishment. There has to be something being punished for. You didn't do anything wrong.
You're punished
in Aro.
And Echanami, you're a chefs, it doesn't matter. That's why it's a chiddush.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is that even though there's no mitzvah, Lemaisa, if you have an Aro on you, it'd be like, you know, if you treif, you treif. Well, it's not your fault, but you're still treif. Again, it's a chiddush, but that's what he suggests, and that's just a fascinating thing to consider. And then just to, for the sake of time, and I want to show with you the next paragraph, but just to show you, the last thing he was discussing was the last line he mentioned the possibility, well, who's chayiv, that isn't there chayiv, and he mentioned the last line, after the avadim peturim yatzvam, rachiv mutal al-odon, v'alha bezdin, t'kach gozer ha-kosov. And again, that's the answer to your question. Everyone holds that the Adon or slash Bezdin are obligated. The Shail was that he was also obligated on himself. But again, what he's saying here at Kornatosis would come out, and Adon would be chayev to do it. And the whole time, Kolzman, the Adon didn't do it, Adon couldn't eat a carbon Pesach. So the Adon's going to have his own Gehaktasaurus. They'll see each other both in Kares. But Lamaisa, Alts, the Brismila, the Eved is not chayev to do it himself. So he may be begging his Adon, you know, just give me a day off, and I promise I'll come back to work even quickly. But I need to have this done. But Lamaisa, unless it gets done, he's not chayev to get it done. But he would have to pay the price. That's, again, a very... The reason to be against that is obvious. It's so obvious. But he does consider that possibility. Okay. Let's just, to close, that's interesting that he throws... This is like, you know, the Minchas Chinuchah, sometimes the Polish. He throws things... He's sometimes very organized and sometimes a little bit less so. Here, since we were mentioning a little bit of Isha because we were using it as a foil for Avadim, he gets back into a topic which really by rights I would have imagined he would have discussed in the topic we saw last week, which is Chiv Noshim per se. According to most Rishonim, Bris Mila is not Aseh Shalom Grama. That's why I needed the Pasuk. But the Shaila that begs is, well, what is the definition halachically of Aseh Shalom Grama? Because after all, if I had asked any one of you, if you didn't know that Gemara Kedushin and that Tosfos, there's a mitzvah that can only be done on the 8th day. The mitzvah can only be done during daytime, not at night. If I had asked you, does that qualify as Aseh Shalom Grama? I guess everybody in the room would have raised their hand yes. And yet, according to most Rishonim, it doesn't. So what that really requires us to do is to reevaluate Taka. What is the definition of the category of Aseh Shalom Grama? So there's different theories. We saw that previously. And one of the very intriguing theories comes from the Turi Evin in Chagiga. And that's what he quotes here. I just want to share with you because it's just, in your Bekiah, it says, Talmid Chachamim, you should just know this Turi Evin. Da, the Yesh O Terusim Akushit Atosvis, the Mila Lahav Aseh Shalom Grama, and namely, one of them is the Turi Evin in Chagiga. Hochiach Barayos, he proves, the Lohav Aseh Shalom Grama, there's no category of Mishnah Grama, except Ella, shofar of a sukkah, and what's so unique about shofar and sukkah, which everyone admits are Mishnah Grama? Because about those, or anyone else that would fit into the category, the following description applies. The la'akar zmanam, but lo ha-mitzvah, u'vishana ha-bo, he mitzvah v'tnei atzma, v'ein tashlumin le-mitzvah she'avra, zehu zman grama. Namely, what he says is you have a thing, it's like imagine a screen, computer or TV screen, something's blinking, right? When it exists, their putter, sorry, before the their putter thing. When it exists, whoever is chayiv is chayiv. Then there's a time period, whether that blink lasts for a minute or a month, but there's a time period where the blink, the thing is, the image is visible. Chayiv, whoever is chayiv during that moment. Then it blinks out off the screen, no one's chayiv. A month, a week, a year, a minute later, when it comes back on, it's not the same mitzvah coming back. Panim chadashos ba'olakan. It's a new mitzvah entirely. Such a mitzvah, and what's the control? Why does it blink on and off? It's set on a timer. Every 8 days, every year on Tesvav Nisan, every year on Aleph Tishrei, every whatever, it blinks on and off. So when timing regulates the chiyuv, and when you're not at whatever the mesugal time is, there's no chiyuv at all, I comes back next year, next month, next whatever, but that's a new mitzvah. When it exists, and then it's gone forever.
Every mitzvah has a statue, except for maybe
Mila. Oh, not every mitzvah. We'll get to it in a second. So when it comes to shofar, shofar exists on this day. I shofar is next year, I shofar is the year after, but it's a new mitzvah. Sukkah, new mitzvah. All these examples. Tzitzis even. Tzitzis and tefillin. Good. Tzitzis and tefillin. We don't have to go a year. A year is very far, right? Tzitzis and tefillin every single day. But if I don't put on tefillin today, do I get to make it up tomorrow? No, I put it on tomorrow. I was with Kavana. I went to mikvah. I kept it on all day and delete the base medrash. Wonderful! But you can't make it up. Putting it on today has nothing to do with tomorrow. Tzitzis, same thing. The chi of today is not the chi of tomorrow, which will not be the chi of yesterday. It's a different chiyuvim. So that says the Minchas, the Turi Evin, it's a characteristically brilliant shot. Doesn't mean he's right. Other people have different definitions, but it's really sharp. Because that is the unique characteristic. If you have something that exists today and does exist tomorrow, but does that's Tagazman Grama, because when the Zman changed, it was gone, and when it comes back, it's because it's new. It looks the same, it talks the same, but it's not the same. It's a different thing. However, Bris Mila, you have to do Bris Mila the 8th day. The rest of your life, you have to do it. But every minute of every day until you're 120, that you have to do the Bris Mila, do we say it's a new mitzvah? No, it's together, Tashlumin, I'm trying to make up. So there's no makeup by tzitzis. There's no makeup by tefillah. There's no makeup by matzah. There's no matzah makeup by shofar. There's no makeup by sukkah. But Bris Mila, says the Torah, Evan, and whatever other examples you could dig up. But we're talking about Bris Mila now. There, you can make up. So if you can make up, it's maybe connected to Zman. But you won't call it Zman Goreim. It's not regulated. It's not caused by Zman. Because even when the Zman goes away, it doesn't completely go away. Because it's the same thing that I'm going to make up for. How can you say the 8th day is Goreim when every other day, the rest of my life, I'm chayv in the same mitzvah? Those other days are also Goreim. The Goreim is a makeup. But a makeup is still a makeup. And therefore, says the Torah Yevin, that is the definition, and that's why, according to this Mahalach, you needed to have a pasuk to exempt the mother, because if it was just that this is my grandma, you wouldn't have accepted the mother, because Taka, according to this, we have a good understanding why Bris Mila is Taka, not Zman.
Would we change this opinion that bad?